Hello, my name is Mike Beckish, and this is Jeff Beischer, and the title of our presentation is From UML to PHP, Using an Open Source Class Library and Design Patterns to Implement Large-Scale Web Applications. Introduce ourselves. We work for Software Engineering Associates. We don't do well there, the email address is www.dm.com. This presentation is available online on that site. So is the class library, which is part of the title here. That's available for download. We're open sourcing it under the QPL for open source projects, and it's kind of in a pre-release version right now, so you can download and take a look at it. Should be all cleaned up and fully documented, hopefully in the next few weeks or so. A little background about our company. We started our company 3 years ago, and we've been using open source stuff from the beginning, like FreeBSD and Postgres and Firebird, which Jeff is the guy who ported Firebird to FreeBSD. And then like 2 years ago, we started web programming with PHP, and we liked it a lot, but we came up on a couple difficulties. So for our first stab at a PHP website, we basically wrote just a bunch of function calls to try to like reuse bits of PHP. You know, if we had the same table showing up in a couple spots, we'd make a function call and just spit it out a bunch of different places. But we found out what we really wanted to do was do like use UML and a nice object-oriented design methodology to come up with a good design for our site, and we found that it was a little hard to do switching from like the Windows client server paradigm over to the web paradigm. It wasn't quite straightforward for us. So this talk is going to talk about some of the issues we've had to deal with since switching over to PHP and web programming. And one of the issues is main issues is object-oriented design and using UML and stuff like that, and how to really apply that to PHP, and how a class library that we end up being really helps in those efforts.
The class library is a really exciting part that you can see about halfway through the presentation. The class library just gave us so many advances in our productivity. It's a really exciting thing. I'm bursting out of mic here, but I shouldn't be. That's how excited I am about it. So we'll see that in a while.
Yeah, we'll start off. I'm just going to kind of introduce some of the topics that we've grappled with and trying to apply them to PHP development, such as using ML and object-oriented methodologies, coming up with a nice class library that we could reuse from project to project. And then I'll hand over to Jeff, and he'll talk about the class library that we came up with over the past 2 years and how that really developed into a full-fledged framework for PHP development, and how framework we've taken the whole process and design to go through for every project over, coming up with the classes that we're going to use and trying to come up with a clean design. With the framework, we've really reduced that whole design process to just a set of design patterns, just like a group of best practices. You know, we have a list of instructions, and you go through and follow these instructions, and you end up with 90% of your site built using the framework that is by default well-defined and object-oriented. So Jeff will get more into the specifics of our solutions needs, and first I'll talk about the overview of the general part. First of all, for anyone who doesn't know, what is UML? UML stands for the Unified Modeling Language. It is a standard set of symbols and diagrams for software modeling. UML alone is not to do object-oriented design. You need a methodology to follow. And so we use an object-oriented design methodology because of just like programming. You don't use functional or anything like that for object-oriented. So what is an object-oriented design methodology? Well, it's a group of activities that a software developer performs to transform software requirements into classes, diagrams that show how the classes interact with each other, and code that uses the classes to implement the requirements. Why would you want to use an object-oriented design methodology? Well, it provides a systematic approach to system design rather than just every product being an ad hoc effort to sit down and write a product from scratch that gives you a nice system so that everyone can be on the same page and understand each other. And we like object-oriented because good object-oriented design typically leads to code that is well documented because if you've done the design process and you have documents of all your classes and data cases and stuff like that. And object-oriented in general makes things more reusable and not reusable. Our design methodology, you can use UML as not specific to any design methodology, you can use it if you want. We tend to use a lightweight version of the unified software development process, USDP, which was developed by the creators of UML, the process that they have implemented. In that process, there are four core workflows: requirements gathering, design, implementation, and testing. Requirements gathering, that involves the discovery and documentation of requirements, and what are called use cases, flowcharts, and sites. A use case is basically a document, either just text or also diagrams, to basically document each part of the system as the user sees them. The document the scenario of how the system will be used, and information that your customer or users will understand. Then just any kind of flowcharts or site map, anything else that really helps the customer understand that we're on the same page as they are. Then you have design, which involves discovering classes that you want to implement and then documenting their interfaces and interactions. And typically we use just the class descriptions, just to write down text of all the classes and what they're supposed to do. And then also we might use something called sequence diagram. We have an example of that at the end. So we wanted to apply UML and object-oriented design methodology to our PHP development. So we ran into some difficulties. We ran into questions like, how do the requirements translate to classes? You have the set of requirements that the customer wants you to implement, but how do you know exactly what classes you should make? Any number of ways to come up with classes for different requirements. And in particular, how do you make classes that can easily be implemented in the PHP web paradigm? It's different than typical client-server paradigm where you have your whole monolithic program running all the time, you have classes that are sitting there that can talk to each other. When you have a PHP in the web paradigm, you have a script that runs, and then when that script runs, that means that was on it, it's killed. And so then when you run the next script, you don't have that other class to communicate with anymore. The only kind of permanence you have is like the session variables and cookies and stuff like that in flat files. We don't really have a running object for systems. So that makes the design a little bit different than usual. And also the maintenance, how do you trace your requirements to the implementation and code? And then someone comes back to the launch. We wanted a way to read back into our code and find what to make the change. And that gets difficult if your code is embedded in the middle of your layout. You know, if you have a big complicated nested table, HTML tables and everything like that, and then you're looking through all that layout just to find the piece of code that needs to be changed, it gets difficult. And another question we answered is how do you easily modify that HTML to satisfy change in the terms. So our solution is what we call a Plankton Web Application Framework. Consists of a purpose PHP class library, which handles just all aspects of web programming that you use, from generating HTML to connecting to databases and all that kind of stuff. Then we have what are called framework-specific classes, and that's more to do a lot more streamlining. If you don't want to just program in any general way, but if you want to follow this framework, then it streamlines a lot of the processes. And then we also came up with a set of design patterns, which is just kind of a set of instructions that we do every time we start a project, follow these instructions, and we end up by having that instructions, most of the design and implementation of the project specific details take there. Briefly, what is a class library? It packages functionality into modular classes. And the main point of the slide is that the individual class is being able to reuse. For a class library, you'll reuse this class from one class to the next. And but it leaves it up to the programmer to define the classes and write the control line. That's the kind of stuff you end up doing over from project to project, is figuring out how to combine the classes and how to write all the control between the classes. It's nice because we replace all the difficult reinventing the wheel that you would do over and over. Project is easier, but sometimes tedious dog work. You have to find yourself just like setting up a whole ton of parameters and doing the same thing over and over, which you find is kind of dog work. But it also forms the foundation of what we call a framework. Well, it's basically a comprehensive integrated class library rather than just having like a packets library and an HTML library and a database library. Framework kind of ties everything together into one integrated class library where the different classes know how to talk to each other. And this, instead of just an individual class being used from project to project, the entire architecture is a unit that you use. Find yourself noticing that from project to project, you can pretty much set up the same set of classes and create the same architecture of how the classes talk to each other, how you get your data, how you communicate with the user, how you get your data to forms and all that stuff. And so you can reuse that knowledge from project to project. And so you don't even have to think about that for your design anymore. But you can just kind of take on the details that are specific to the project alone. The framework defines the control logic and class interactions of the application's architecture for you, so that you can have even less stuff to write. A lot of the flow is taken care of for you, kind of like in typical GUI programming, like C++ Builder or Visual Basic. You don't write the main program that runs the flow. That's part of the framework. And then you just kind of write the components and handle the events that happen within that framework. And but all the flow is taken care of for you. And that's kind of what we've done here in PHP. And so it reduces that dog work that was left over, take care of a lot of stuff that's done the same from project to project. But that costs some flexibility, and now you ties into doing it the way the framework does it. So finally, what is a design pattern? Well, design pattern is text that describes a set of best practices for a typical application. For example, you might talk about directory and file structure guidelines, implementation guidelines, and that's the big part of our design pattern. We have a set of instructions. Okay, when you start a project, run the wizard, and take these classes and here and jump into that detail. And by the time you follow all those patterns, a whole big chunk of your application is already good. So how do frameworks and design patterns make the design process easier? The difficulty in design is coming up with a set of classes that can cleanly interact with each other and can be used to implement the system requirements. And there are two categories of these design classes. Architecture-centric classes, those are kind of same things you do from project to project to move information around and process things. And then there's project-specific classes, which are unique to each into the body. The architecture-centric classes, how does the framework help with those? Well, a framework greatly simplifies the design of your architecture-centric classes because it provides support. That's what the framework is. It's basically gives you all the classes that you need for your architecture. The main functionality of your application's architecture, such as getting data, doing some forms, querying databases, displaying HTML, stuff like that, are already implemented as part of the framework. And all that remains to design is to apply that framework to your specific project. And framework and design pattern integration simplifies the implementation of your system architecture. Since the framework implements most of the architecture functionality, all it means is to customize that framework. And then also the design pattern provides step-by-step procedures for the developer to follow to do that application. So you have a framework that does most of it, and then you have instructions in the form of design patterns that tell you then how to customize it. It takes a lot of the thought and the difficulty out of design. Then you have these project-specific classes that are going to be different, maybe just one-time use for each project. And the design and implementation of these project-specific classes can be made easier by a framework that provides general purpose class libraries which can be used to create custom classes. For example, maybe you need some kind of custom HTML table that has fancy layout and displays a bunch of things for your site. And well, the framework provides a generic HTML table class, and then you can just inherit from that, instead of being making whole wheels, just inherit from that and just customize it a little bit to spit out your particular table. The new classes can be created by combining existing classes or extending them and providing functionality rather than starting from scratch. And although not all project-specific classes can make use of the class library, some might have to be designed and implemented from scratch. However, even when that happens, the library can provide a good model where maybe you see how other classes work and you can get an idea of how to design and implement Now I'll hand the floor over to Jeff, who will talk about our particular solution to these issues, which is the Clinker framework.
Okay, so the just in general, the Plankton class library tries to recognize a few common things among all web applications that you ever write. And that is that basically every web application can be thought of as always doing basically one of two things. You're either displaying a page to the user or you're processing input from the user so that you know what to do next and display to them again. So that's basically what the XML and HTML class in the Plankton library are for. And the PDF as well, that's kind of specific when you want the user to be able to download a document. So the XML, the HTML, and the PDF are for displaying information to the user. And then just about the rest of the other classes are for doing processing on, for example, form submit. You have to typically connect to a database or read and write information from a session. And you have to just generally deal with abstract data types that you need to solve problems, and et cetera. Now, and this mega widgets is kind of boring. Mega widgets in application that you can run into an existing application. And mega widgets turn out to be very, very powerful. It's really kind of the most powerful feature of the class library in that you can take a mega widget that somebody else wrote for their site and drop it into your site very seamlessly. Example, you know, a lot of projects that that are out there now on for PHP say, well, you can take this integrated into your site, but then when you get it, you have to deal with the fact that you got multiple you know, PHP pages that you need to link to and multiple submit pages that you need to include, and then on top of that, the look and feel of their components are completely different from your web page. So mega widgets allow you to accomplish this in a nice way. So the XML classes are probably the most important set of classes in the library from a display perspective because practically every document the user views is an XML document in one way or another. Very briefly, the one of the features of these XML classes as opposed to a lot of other ways that different libraries generate XML documents are that the XML document in the Plankton class library is represented as a tree data structure. And because that's basically what an XML document is, it's a tree of XML elements and nodes nested in each other. And the beauty of the Plankton XML classes is that you can append XML nodes to other XML nodes, and it gets appended as a reference. And that allows you to build the document, build the output document in whatever order you want, because you, since it gets appended as a reference, you can append something first to define the structure of your page. And then at that point, you can do whatever processing you need to modify that particular section of the page. So that, I mean, the big problem, really, with writing a site with PHP, most of the time, I find anyway, is that you're forced to do run your code in the order that the document has to be output. Whereas doing it this way, you can do it, you can do all your processing in whatever order is most natural to you, and just let the classes take care of the rest. And another feature of the XML classes is they're very useful for reading in XML documents. They'll parse up an XML document and give you a tree of nodes that you can parse up and navigate through. They've borrowed a few concepts from XSLT, from the concept of XPath axes, where you can access child nodes and parent nodes and things like that. Then there are the HTML classes, which are essentially just a specialization of the XML classes, because that's really what HTML is. You will always create HTML documents, well, create in the same way as you would an XML document. And really, there are only there are very few differences, just for compatibility purposes with other browsers. And then on top of that, there are some specialized XML elements, which provide a lot of additional functionality that additional functionality over things like being able to append something to a document. Two examples of those are the table and form. And so the table, and there are several implementations of a table classes for PHP Online. It basically gives you a two-dimensional array of references to all the cells in the table so that you can access them by index rather than, you can access them by index. And a cell in a table is just, just like any other HTML element in Python, so you can append anything to a table cell or you can append a table to anything else. You can append a table to a cell and you can do whatever you want to do in whatever order. And besides that, there are nice methods to be able to dynamically manipulate the table before it ever gets spit out to the user, so that if you do some processing and decide that, oh, I need to add a row or delete a row here, you can do that. Then there's the HTML form class, which turns out to be one of the most powerful classes in the entire library from the perspective of saving time when doing application development. And the way that we save time by this, well, we recognize, first of all, that there are certain things that you always need to do to display in a process form. For form processing, typically, for every form that you have to make, you have to do field level validation. You have to worry about redirecting back to another page if there were errors on the form. You have to worry about keeping track of all the data that was in the form so that the user didn't have to type it again when there was an error. You have to worry about laying the form out, when in fact, typically, every form that you ever lay out is basically two columns, a column with labels in it, and a column with the actual fields in it. And why repeat that every time you want to make a form? So the HTML form provides you with methods that take care of a lot of these things automatically for you. So, and we'll get into this in a little more detail later. But you can see all the methods that the form provides you at a very basic level. And then there's specialized versions of the form which know how to lay the form content out based on if you want it laid out in a column or a row. And if you assign an error to a field on a form, then those forms know where to put that error in a logical place. You just say, for the username field on the form, you want to say there's an error, that user doesn't exist. The form knows, okay, well, I'm going to put that error message next to that field, because that's where it belongs. Then there's the Python database classes, which provide DBMS independent access to basically all the built-in PHP database functionality. And the purpose of that is just so that if you're using database platforms, mid project or post project, you don't have to go through and change all the API calls. And then there's the data module, which provides methods for running queries. And the reason that the data module is separated off database is just because it turns out to be a nice little container to hold all the queries that we want to run. So we had to group all of our queries together inside of data modules. We have a particular table, like a customer purchase order table, and we have queries that we need to run on the purchase order table. We'll just put all the queries inside of different methods. We'll specialize the base class data module, put our own queries in it, and that way you don't have all your queries embedded inside of the rest of your logic in all your pages. And then we have result sets. And then there's DB table, which is an extension of the data module specialization. And the DB table will actually provide you with a lot of the queries that you typically have to run on a website that does database access. And again, we'll look at that in a little more detail later with the real example. And we have PDF classes, which I mentioned before. And the PDF classes, just briefly, use the same free node abstraction as the XML and HTML documents. So you build them in much the same way by appending nodes to other nodes. The details of the actual nodes that you append to what nodes are obviously very different from XML. But the base concepts are the same. And there's also a class which will basically define our own DTD so that if the DTD is very similar to HTML in many ways, so that if you have an HTML document that you wanted to output as PDF, it would be very easy for you to, using the components, transform your XML document into this format. And this will automatically convert it to PDF for you. And then some of the other classes that I mentioned earlier. There's session management classes, which also provide session manager independent interface. So, for example, most of the time you would use the regular PHP session manager, which creates a temp file to hold all your session data. But if you're running a cluster of servers and load balancing, you have to do it in the same database because somebody requests a page on one server and they store a session variable there, and then the next time they hit the server, the router will redirect it to another server, and they try to retrieve a set variable and it's not there. So we abstracted that to a common session interface here. And we have typical abstract data types that you might like to use. Date and time are particularly valuable because they interact well with all the database drivers. Different DBMSs have different formats that they like to see dates and times in. And by using these classes in conjunction with database classes, it's all taken care of for you. And this data record set, this is a pretty important concept that I'll mention now. The data record set is basically what we call a business object. And a business object is basically whatever a customer thinks an entity of a system is when they have to store something. Like we wrote a system that's a purchase order system for a customer. And so as far as time is concerned, a business object is a purchase order. And the purchase order has head information on it. And another business object is a line item on a purchase order or part in inventory. And having this concept of a business object in the class library, it turns out, and you'll also see this later, is very useful because if you specify the fields and types of all columns in the data record set, then you can automatically do a lot of inserts and updates based on information. And I think two mega widgets that we have implemented now. One of them is an email contact form, the other is a DB tabulator. And they both kind of do exactly what they sound like. And actually, I'm going to skip ahead and show you an example of the email contact form. Probably should have opened this in another browser. But there's an example system. What I'm doing here is I move forward to a slide. It's a functional purchase order system that we wrote just to demonstrate how easy it is to build a system using the class library. And actually, I'm going to switch to this other PC. And this is a live connection to the Plankton purchase order system that's running on our server back in Pennsylvania. And let's see if I can walk through this. And you can see here basically it's your typical type form and an email address and the message subject and then you submit the form. And if we submit right now, then you see pretty standard thing we filled in before doing it. It's not my name. And put the rest, but I need to put the rest of the scenario over here and just go drag this past like get a cat's eye. And we hit submit, and we come to the SMTP server, and the SMTP server said, well, that domain that you're sending from doesn't exist, so I'm not going to deliver your message. And we came back here, and that's basically how you would expect the contact form to behave. So I'm going to correct that and submit, and then we see the message, your message was delivered. And so that's all good and all. But I guess the proof is in the pudding. And the code that you're looking at right now on this screen is that would be 16 lines from beginning to end. That's the entire source file for that contact page that you just saw. And the reason that we can get away with using so few lines in here is because basically because of that mega widget in conjunction with the rest of the framework. You can see we have a system page which has the layout for the entire site on it. Oh yeah, there you go. We have the system page, which has a general site layout on it. And this contact page is just a specialization of that system page. And the only thing we want in the contact page that wasn't already in the system page is the contact form. So the contact form is given to us in this nice contact widget. So we're going to append that widget to this page. And then the contact widget, in order to work, needs an active session, which, by the way, was started in the parent's constructor here. And the contact widget also needs to know, who should I send you to? So I have sending to me. So with this little amount of code, you have a fully functional contact page. So now getting into framework-specific classes. The thing about framework is setting up a framework like this really turns web programming kind of event-driven programming environment, kind of like the Type 4. It's really a paradigm shift, so that it allows you to think of things, well, when I display this, I have to do this, when the computer hits submit, I do this, and you just build those pieces of code that happen, that are supposed to happen at the right time. And so these are the classes that are framework specific, and we've talked about some of them to some degree. We have the XML project configuration, which is basically just an XML config file that allows you to store global variables that are really installation specific to your application, so that if you were to take the application, pick it up from here, and move it to another server, ideally link that XML file, and everything's going to work. Excuse me. We'll get into that in a little more detail. Database access, as far as the framework is concerned, what makes this framework specific is that it configures itself from this XML config file. And the configuration parameters that it takes from there are the host that the database relies on, the driver that we should use to connect to the database, the user and password user name we make for the connection. And if there's an error that was returned by the DBMS, when you ran a query, then it would automatically redirect you to a standard error page by default, giving you the query and the error message. But this standard error page is something that you might replace with, you might be emailed a page whenever there was an error on your site. That's the kind of thing you would implement at that moment. And so now getting into the actual pages that are used in basically every site that you would write with Python. There are only two pages that are ever available, need to be available, in web assessment space, index.php and submit.php. And index.php is responsible for loading and displaying page classes, such as the contact page that I showed you a few minutes ago. And submit.php is just responsible for processing form submits. And there's a little magic involved in submit.php, in that whenever you submit a form, submit.php knows exactly which form it was that you just submitted, so that it recreates that form for you and runs its not submit method. We'll get a little more specific example of that in the next slide. But, and then to link to another page in the site, you can use Plankton link, which automatically links index.php, and it's automatic. It allows you to tell basically the link that's loaded on the page that you mentioned.